Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went out ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise oh, yeah, sure. If you are a little person, you are welcome to join Marissa for children's chat. Thank you. Christian has been home this week for spring break. He brought with him three friends from Luther who are also distance runners. I am no stranger to feeding athletes, but I quickly learned that feeding athletes on the collegiate level is an entirely different beast. Michael is from Germany and is a chemistry major. Joseph is from Uganda by way of Norway and is a physics major. And Anae is from South Sudan but was raised in Ames and is an accounting major, who, by the way, is the current high school state track record holder in the 800. He has legs, honestly, for days, this kid. It's been like living with giraffes, honestly. This past week, I have absolutely adored watching them joke around and interact with each other. It's been a lot of fun. They got into an argument the other night playing pool. I heard at least three different languages in use. Add Jacob and Philip to the mix and their friends who are always around the house, and you can imagine that ours has been a very full and a very loud house this week. One afternoon, I observed Christian composing music for one of his classes, Michael studying for a chemistry exam, Joseph doing physics homework, Anae talking to Jake and Phil and some of their friends about the recent war in Sudan, where many of his relatives still live. And I was filled with an overwhelming sense of hope. Right there in my living room were eight young men between the ages of 17 and 21. And I felt joy and optimism for their futures and for the future of the world. They are all on the cusp of being out there, being their amazing selves, doing amazing things. And then I opened my news feed and read about Riley Strain, the 22-year-old Missouri boy who went missing on March 8, whose body was found in Nashville only on Friday. And I read about Friday's terrorist attack on a concert in Moscow. And then my joy and optimism left me, and I was filled with fear and despair. I looked at the young people in my home and was terrified for their safety. and wanted to demand that they all stay in my home forever in order to keep them safe. But at the same time, I knew I could never afford that grocery bill. I feel conflicting emotions a lot these days. As I prepare for Jacob to graduate this May, for example, I look at him, so big. I look at my house full of men, my students at LCM, and I want to simultaneously scream, "No, don't go." And also want to scream, "Yes, go and do great things. Go. Please don't go." Both emotions are equally fierce within me. I feel conflicting emotions when I consider my own departure from Gloria Day and LCM. I feel like saying no to leaving, because it is extremely difficult to leave people that you love. But I also feel like saying yes to the steps ahead in all of our futures, knowing that God walks with all of us. Both emotions are equally fierce within me. I guess I'm pretty fickle when it comes right down to it, as I navigate my way through life, but I'm sure I'm not alone. There are times when I come to church and I'm so overcome by a sense of transcending spirituality that it literally takes my breath away. And then there are other times when I am jaded and cynical, and I look around and think, what in the world are we even doing? And I'm amazed that people even bother coming to church at all. There are times I feel like my faith is strong, and there are times I feel like a spiritually empty shell. There are times I feel competent and wise, and other times I am convinced I know nothing. There are times I feel confident in my beliefs in God and Scripture and the creeds and Christian doctrine, and then there are times I honestly don't know what I believe. There are times I feel I am a really good mother, only to be paralyzed by fears that I am in fact a bad mother. There are times when I feel hope for our world, and then there are times I feel like there is no hope to be found anywhere. I live in all of these polar opposite realities, but I know that I am not alone. All this to say, today is the perfect time for me to admit these things to you, because it's Palm Sunday, a day of conflicting realities that sets the stage for a whole week of conflicting realities. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on, of all things, a colt instead of a chariot like other kings and warriors. The crowds greet him as the Davidic king described by the prophet Zechariah. They wave palm branches at him and cry out, "Hosanna," yet he enters the great city bringing not the sword, but peace. Today the people cry out, "Hosanna," but by the end of the week they will cry out, "Crucify him." Many scholars try to explain this sharp contrast by saying one crowd shouts "Hosanna," while an entirely different crowd shouts "Crucify him," but I don't believe that for a second. Must we try to deny the very real fickleness of human beings? Are we naively insisting that there's no possible way it could be the very same people shouting both "Hosanna" and "Crucify him"? Does it fall outside our realm of comprehension that on Sunday, it's the same people who shout out, "You are our king," who cry out on Friday, "We want you dead"? Why are we forcing a story to be systematic when it is anything but? The passion of Jesus, that is to say his arrest, torture, and execution, is pure madness. And it makes no sense to try to impose logic or rationale or order onto it. We aren't unfamiliar with madness. In fact, March Madness is a very real thing. And for those of you who keep reminding me that I've never preached a basketball sermon, this is as close as I'm going to get. For example, when I, athletic person as I am, insert laughter there, watch the Iowa women's basketball team play, I am so excited, but at the same time so terrified that I don't know whether to look at the TV or to look away. I'm afraid to watch, but I can't bear the thought of missing anything. Madness. For Iowans, our spring weather is madness. 70 degrees one day, snow the next. And our state, madness, while our legislators squabble about how many milligrams of THC we can drink, we can easily buy an AR-15 to soothe our anxiety instead. And our country, madness. Democracy and the right to vote are things for which people have fought and died, and yet we are careening towards an election where a literal madman is running for the highest office in the country. In our world, madness. I heard a woman at Hy-Vee the other day yelling at a kid who was probably 13. He was stocking shelves. She was mad because they were out of her particular brand of bread. All Gazans are literally starving to death. Concert goers and music festival attendees get gunned down instead of dancing the night away, and our children turn up dead in rivers far from home instead of safe in their own beds. So if we can live in these realities of madness and polar opposites, why must we try to tame and domesticate the madness that is Holy Week? Let's call it what it is. It is madness. That's the simple truth of it. People shout Hosanna at Jesus on Sunday and then kill him on Friday. There is one who says, I am your rock, in one breath, and in the next breath says, I never knew the man. There is one who says, I will never betray you, but in the next breath says, my price is 30 pieces of silver. There is a Roman centurion who in one moment actively participates in the crucifixion of Jesus, but who also only moments later exclaims, truly this man was the Son of God. There is a king who dies a criminal's death, and there is a criminal who inherits a kingdom. There is Jesus, so full of love, who dies for a world that hates him. There is a crown, but it's made of thorns, and there is a robe, but it's stained with innocent blood. There is a mother who watches from a distance as her baby is nailed to a cross for preaching nothing but love. There is a stone rolled away and a first Easter marked by confusion and fear. There are no chocolate eggs or spiral sliced hams or pastel-colored dresses this week. There are only truths that sound like absolute madness. A king whose kingdom is not of this world, Son of God and Son of Man, ruler of all who kneels at our feet. Holy Week is packed with yeses and nos. It's shot through with contrasting polarity and it's utter madness. But in that madness, in that confusion, in that utter chaos, in those seemingly conflicting realities, there is God. So, if you find yourselves living in a world where you are conflicted and don't know what to think or believe, if you find yourself unable to decipher between real and fake, if you want to trust everyone and yet trust no one, if you are in one moment pulled together and the next moment falling apart, if you feel simultaneously hopeful and hopeless, if you find yourself thinking, I get it, and also I don't get it when it comes to matters of faith, if you find yourself wanting to push your children out of the nest, but also wanting to hold them close, if you feel conflicted and confused by things such as love and grace and forgiveness, If you are torn between looking at life fully in the face and looking away, if you cannot decide between shaking your fist or burying your head in the sand, if you cannot reconcile a rabbi on a colt with the savior of the world, if you don't know how to make heads or tails of the bloody cross and the empty tomb, if you do not understand how the King of creation could care about you and your life and your joys and your sorrows, if you refuse to comprehend that God would battle Satan and win for you, and if for the life of you, you cannot believe that the Creator of all things created you and loves you literally to death, if you abide in this place called madness, well, then this week is for you. Amen.